This podcast is intended for adult audiences only and contains explicit language in spicy situations. And we do not replace any advice of professionals, and the views and opinions expressed by our guests do not reflect our own.
Welcome to the Pineapple Express podcast, and I'm your host, Kylie, aka Sexy Swinger Chick.
And I'm Brad, aka Brad the Space Cadet.
Journey with us as we navigate an ethical non-monogamy, sex positivity, sex work, and relationship advice as millennial swingers.
Explore with us as we share some of our upside down pineapple adventures with you.
All aboard the Pineapple Express.
Okay, my sexy friends, who is ready for a very special Halloween swinger horror stories episode? So I speak with Boston Swinger King. I had to edit some of this shit. Thank you, Boston Swinger King, because he just said way too much. So anyways, guys, I hope you enjoy this episode. It's really funny, really good, and you guys are going to love it. And send me some of your Halloween horror stories, you guys. Email them to me. You know where to find me. I'm all over social media, but I hope you guys love this episode. It's really fun. It's really good. And here we go. I get asked all the time, how do I get into the non-monogamous lifestyle? And I've got the solution for you. It's the 3Fun app. It's the best dating app for couples and singles looking to explore open relationships. It's totally millennial friendly, aka it's in the 21st century, you guys. This is finally a dating app for us non-monogamous folks who are looking for a unicorn. Maybe you're looking for a bull. Maybe you're looking for a couple. This is my favorite app, and I use it all the time. If you want to find a link to it, just go to www.sexyswingerchick.net, and you'll find my link. Hope to see you guys there. Hey, Upside Down Pineapple people. Join the millions of couples enjoying amazing sex with Promescent. I personally love their variety of products they offer, and their aloe-based lube is the only lube I've ever used that doesn't throw off my pH. Brad loves their delay spray, which is clinically proven to help men last longer in bed. Their products have a 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping on orders in the U.S. over $10. Their shipping is discreet and private, which is perfect for us in the swinger lifestyle. Make sure that you go to www.promescent.com/Kylie for all your discreet sexual health needs. My link is in the show notes. Promescent helps you live your best upside down pineapple life.
Most people have unprotected oral sex, right? Be honest. Now think about your last STD test. Did your doctor tickle your throat with something that looked like a giant Q-tip? Probably not. Yet that's the only way to check for oral gonorrhea or chlamydia, which are often asymptomatic. You need a better doctor. You need shamelesscare.com. Use coupon code CHIC, that's C-H-I-C, at checkout.
Hello, my upside down pineapple friends. So I have Boston Swinger King Joe with me today. And, you know, it's almost Halloween. So we were like, let's do a podcast on swinger horror stories, because I know every swinger, has a horror story. I have a ton. I know Joe has a ton. So Joe, tell us your swinger horror stories. Like, what's the craziest, most worst thing that's ever happened to you in the swinger lifestyle?
Well, obviously we got into this blind, and there was not nearly as much information out there when we started as there is now for the new upcoming generation of swingers. But our worst one, I mean, I don't know if we really have a worst one, but our first one was literally our first party we ever went to in the lifestyle. And I've talked about this previously on like almost the first podcast you ever did, about that party we went to with all the geriatrics that had like MS, and the one that reached through my thing and grabbed my dick and like was trying to jerk me off and fuck me, but she had multiple sclerosis and a bunch of other things going on. So And we didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to say no. I don't know. I didn't know anything. I didn't
You
know what
didn't
to
know how
do.
to navigate it.
I didn't know how to navigate. But anyway, so that party was probably one of the worst situations we've ever been to, because not it wasn't one girl that had multiple strokes. Not to mention this bitch was like 450 fucking pounds, tits down to her fucking kneecaps, sucking off fucking dudes like in the corner with headphones on. Like, it was just a very, very bizarre situation. And then I got out of the tub and she like grabbed my dick and tried to jerk me off. She's like, I have MS and I don't have a gag reflex. And I'm like, I don't know if that's like a side effect or a symptom, but like, I'm not interested. And that was just one of the stories. It was like a party horror stories, club horror stories, one-on-one horror stories. I mean, we have a few. But like that one from the party is probably one of the most significant ones that's stood out, because I like it's one of the ones we tell everybody when we first come to the lifestyle, how bad our entry in the lifestyle was, and we're still here. But yeah, I was touched by something.
You can go back to episode two and hear the full story on that, guys, if you haven't heard that already.
Mrs. Swing of Queens on there too. She has a great explanation of that.
Yeah. That reminds me of, okay, so you get so people at events get really drunk, right? And if you're not drinking, which me and you don't really drink a whole lot at events, and when you're not drinking and people are drunk and you can't get out of a conversation with them. So remember what I did at the last event? And I was just like, oh my God, that guy, he's trying to meet us over there. Let's go. And me and you just like start walking because you just can't get out of the car. It's that's like,
Dude, that was this recent.
that was recent and that was
I'm
funny
not going
though.
to say who it was because they were involved in the event, but I was like, oh my God, fucking dude won't shut up
He would not stop talking and
about
like
the same fucking thing over and over again.
and we're just like how, and Brad and Maria are so sweet and they just like stood there and smiled
Totally engaged, totally engaged.
and
Me
they
and
were
you
like
like,
yeah. And me and Joe, I'm like, Joe, how the fuck can we get out of this? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna pull some shit. I'm like, Brad, he's calling me, we gotta go meet that guy in the club, remember? And Brad and Maria just like book it. But yeah, so
I mean, a lot of like the drunk situations that definitely have, like, you know, when you like talk to a couple for a long time on like apps or whatever, you know that they're decent looking, and then you show up and like the other side of them comes out, like that, like they don't get out much, and then
yeah.
they tie one on, and then they're like blocking to you because you've had prior engaged conversations and they're comfortable with you, and then they're like all fucking sloppy drunk. Like, those are such horror scenes because you don't want to be an asshole. But you also have to see them for the next 48 hours at, like, especially like an event like at Secrets. Like, if it happens like on Thursday or Friday, like, now you're fucking dodging bullets the whole weekend to stay away from these fucking people, because you're like, holy shit, they get fucking drunk and they're pains in the asses. And
Oh yeah, that reminds me. Okay, can I tell you the story of, did I ever tell you the, oh no, my husband, he cheated on me.
you told me part of this story, and the lady had broken English and was trying to tell you, like, I think she was like looking for help more than dick.
So we're at an event and we meet this really hot couple, but they were Hispanic. And so they were just looking for girls to play with, which, you know, we're so engaged with them at this point. We're just like, fuck it. That's fine. I'll play unicorn, right? So Brad and the husband like go downstairs. Mind you, we're like probably six tequila shots deep at this point with them. And they go downstairs to smoke. And I'm left with the girl, and the guys are like, oh, you guys start playing and then we'll come back, you know. The minute that door closes, she starts screaming and crying. Oh, Kylie, my husband, he cheat on me every chance he get. He cheat on me. He's gonna cheat on me downstairs. He's gonna cheat. And I'm like, girl, no. He's going down there with Brad. They're going to smoke a cigarette. Like, he's not gonna cheat on you. And she's like, no. He cheat on me so much. That's why we get it. We become swingers because he can't stop cheating. And I'm like, fuck. God damn it. I can't believe I did this. I'm like, motherfucker. So Brad ends up coming upstairs. She's crying. She's in the bathroom. She's screaming like
It's a horror scene in that room. And I don't know what to do. I barely know these people. And they come back up and I'm like, Brad, I just started my period. We have to go back to the room. And we just like book it out of there. And the whole weekend, we just avoided the fuck out of them because it was like, it was bad. But that's one of my favorite swinger horror stories. Like, you're caught in a situation with a couple who ends up having their own marital issues. And you're like, how do I get out of this? So for me, I was just like, I'm on my period, gotta go. What would you have done?
I feel like the period issues is like really good, but sometimes it doesn't fucking matter because these people are savages and they don't even care. They're like, oh, no big deal. It doesn't bother me. And I'm like, I have the shit. Like, I shit myself. I can't do it.
I'm going to shit myself.
I'm nervous. I'm going to shit. Like, if you're blowing me, I'm going to shit. Like, I can't. Like, once you get to shit level, like, you're going to shit your pants, it's done.
It's totally done.
Like that usually is the ultimate vibe and boner killer by like talking like that, especially if it comes out of a female. But like, you know, my wife has a strategy.
What?
When she's done, what does she say? What's her go to?
I don't know. Tell me.
She goes, "All right, Joe, we gotta go. You gotta fuck me in the ass. I gotta go."
Oh, that's right. That's your guys' safe. So that's your guys' like safe.
That's a get out of fucking jail card right there. Because
if she says, "Joe, you're gonna fuck me in the ass. Let's go," then you just know that Joe and Maria are out.
Out. If you hear those words come out of my wife's mouth, something went south.
Something went south somewhere. I've never heard her use that.
But because usually we don't put ourselves in situations where she has to use that. And it comes up when she's done playing with couples, like in a situation. Doesn't necessarily mean it was the couple. It's like sometimes like after 45 minutes, like she's like, dude, I'm like, let's go move on.
My
like,
pussy hurts.
This anything. She's just like, sometimes, you know, like we're not those type of people that want to do like 2 hour sessions either. Like, I'd rather fuck for like a half an hour, go back out and have a drink, and then come back and do it again, like in an hour. We don't have to sit in there for 2 hours and look at each other. Like, I think it's fucking a waste of time. So she'll be like, babe, let's go. You got to fuck me in the ass. Everyone in the room's like, what'd she just say? Like, yeah, no, he's going to fuck my ass now. I need to come. And they're like, okay. Okay, well, good luck with that. And then there's nothing to say. You just out. Like, see you later.
You're done. Yeah.
But in a situation with like you, when you have to become a therapist, usually Marie is pretty fucking quick before I am. And she comes up with some crafty shit about like you said, like I got my period or like, I don't know, I have to go feed my gerbil, anything.
Yeah, I just, in that situation, I'm not going to be therapy for like the issues that you guys have is like for a professional or like you probably shouldn't be there. Like if, yeah, I tell Life of Spikes this story all the time. So sometimes we'll be at an event and I'll just look at her and I'll go, my husband, he cheated on me. And that's how, you know, like she's just going to bust up laughing because we see them at a lot of events that we go to. I don't know if like they follow the Swinger Society or like what, but they always end up at one of the events of the year.
They weren't there at Secrets, were they?
They weren't at Secrets, but like they've been to every other Secrets event and they were at Naughty and they were at, I think, well, we met them at Splash last year. So, I mean, they go to a lot of like the bigger events. So we saw them at Naughty and every time we would see them, I would just look at Life of Spice and be like, my husband, he cheated on me. And then like, they played with like a bunch of people who were our friends. And I was like, oh girl, you get yourself into a mess. Like what, that.
So were they at Secrets in March?
Yeah. And they were there last August?
You're going to have to send me a picture of these people so I can fucking avoid it.
Yeah, I will. Well, I'll.
Are they on the SS website?
I don't think so.
Well, we have to elaborate on this off the air because I don't want to be anywhere near that.
No, we're not here to like deal with people's. I don't want to get caught up in the middle of people's marital problems.
Marital problems are different than lifestyle problems. If it's a lifestyle issue where I can have my experience and be like, you're wrong, can't look at it like that, you got to do this, blah, 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 and I can actually interject, fine. But when it's an actual, like, that type of situation, I want absolute, Joe's couch is fucking closed.
No, right. That's something that I can't, I will never be able to deal with that, because you guys should be in therapy before going into the lifestyle. Like, yeah. Okay. So do you have any more horror stories before we go to scenarios?
I don't really know. I mean, I hear more about the horror stories than I've been involved in them, which some of them are like, thank God I wasn't there, like the person that shit on the bed in the playroom.
Oh, tell us that story.
So I wasn't at that event, but I think, was that Splash?
I can't remember which event it was.
No, it was Red. Was it Red Room?
I don't even really remember you telling me about this.
So one of the other Swinging Society events, there was a giant play party in the room or whatever. Apparently, one of the couples was playing with each other, and they were on the bed and doing their thing, and he's making her squirt and all this bullshit, and like they're having their thing, and then I guess, like, I'm not going to say names in this because it will link way back to who it's from, but a particular person was like, dude, what the fuck is that smell? And they didn't know. It's not like someone shit or farted or something in the room, in the playroom. I mean, people fart in there all the time, whatever. Like, you can tell the difference, but like, it wouldn't go away. So they were like looking at this particular couple on the bed, and they were like frantically like trying to move the sheet. And from what I understood, he was going down on his wife and eating her out, and he was like kind of like, you know, guys get like kind of doggy style while they're eating girls out sometimes. He fucking shit himself on the bed, like straight diarrhea, not like
too much, like, Taco Bell, huh?
Whatever the fuck it was, I don't know, but it wasn't solid. It was a fucking mess. He shit all over the bed, and it fucking stunk up the whole playroom, and everybody knew it was them too. And they were there with that group about to play, so that fucked up the entire play session, however, whatever is going on there. But I mean, I don't even know. I'm pretty fucking open to like most things, and I can laugh, but I'm not sure how I would handle that. I would 100% point and laugh because I just can't help myself.
No.
I can't. I would be like, she shit, he shit. I'd be like, I just couldn't. But I don't, like, I've heard that. I've heard people throwing up. Like, I don't know. Like, I hear more than I'm involved in, and I'm okay with that. We've had a couple of like shitty situations and horror stories, and now we've learned to like not put ourselves in that situation. But we definitely hear a lot of them. I'm glad I'm not part of them. But yeah. Scenarios, yeah. And that puts you into like scenarios, like certain scenarios put you in these situations to have horror stories. We try to avoid the scenarios so the stories don't ensue afterwards. Like, I don't want to come on here and be like, I'm questioning my lifestyle choices.
Right? Like, you don't want to, yeah. And like, I feel like it's totally a newbie thing to like not know what you're like. I would say our first year is when the biggest horror stories developed. Like, one of the biggest horror stories that I always talk about is the situation where, and I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but like where Brad was involved in a situation. So we met this couple online, and they were into BDSM, and Brad and I were like new to the kink world, and they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna, you know, we're kind of hard, like we play hard, you know. And Brad and I, of course, were like, oh, that's fine, whatever. So we go into the playroom with them, and the husband is like really rough with me, which I liked, right? But the girl is like beating the shit out of him. Like, she's literally smacking him, hitting him, like she's making him, like hitting him on the ear, and his ear starts ringing. And the way he explains it is like, it took so much for him not to hit her back. He was like, oh my God, like this girl is coming at me right now and hitting me. What do I do? So we ended up getting out of the situation. And at that point, we didn't know enough about the lifestyle to know to have a safe word. So like, he was just stuck there getting beat by this girl. And I feel so bad for him because he had PTSD from that for a long time. He was like, You know, so we had to be really careful. And then like, whenever people ask us now if we're into BDSM, we're like, we're into like soft BDSM. Like we're the soft kink, you know, because like that was just insane for him. And like, it was a miscommunication on everyone's part, which I feel like all swinger horror stories for the most part can be navigated through, I would say, definitely like talking it out or talking about it and communicating. But that was just like the biggest one that I can think of that happened in like our first year, where it was like,
so we are totally not into any of that stuff. Like, I don't mind the like choking or like slapping a little bit on the ass. Don't slap my back, you're gonna get knocked the fuck out. Don't scratch me, don't bite me. So at Secrets this past event, someone bit my lip and I almost fucking threw it across the fucking bar. Like, bit it once. I gave the warning, like, ow, don't do that. And then it happened again and I fucking raged.
So wait, they just came up to you and like...
No, like it was someone that we were like flirting with, you know what I mean? And like, she came up to me when Maria went to the bathroom and it was cool because we had talked previously and like, she started kissing me, whatever. And I was like, cool, like we'll make out. Like, she's like right straddling me, kissing me. And then she's like, yeah, you like that? And I'm like, uh-oh. I knew what was going to happen. So she was getting a little violent. She was like rubbing her nails down my back. And I'm like, I had no fucking shirt on. And I was like, all right, like, let that slide. Then she fucking was kissing me. She bit my fucking lip and pulled it with her fucking teeth. Like, it hurt. So I was like, ow. I was like, I'm not into that. And then she's like, all right, no problem. Starts kissing me again, bites my upper lip and does the same shit. I fucking dropped her on the floor. And I was like, no, this isn't going to work. And I ran over to Maria. I'm like, we need to get out of here. I'm like raging right now. Like, I'm going to fucking snap. Like, I literally don't like that at all. It like pisses me off. Like, it's like fight material. And so like, I don't like being in those situations that anyone likes. The BDSM thing is cool. Like, I'll fucking whoop the shit out of you if you want, but I don't like it. So like, okay. I don't like being in those scenarios where like, they're like, oh no, I just like it. Don't worry about it. And they turn around and they fucking wrap you in the mouth or something like that. I don't like those scenarios.
Well, that's again, a communication thing. Like, you know, we're pretty open now about it, but I feel like all situations can be mitigated with communication and also listening to what the other partner is telling you. Like you said, I'm not into this. I don't like this. And then they continued on and that's where you're like, all right, they're not hearing me. Maybe they had too much to drink. Maybe they're not, you know, in their right mind right now, whatever.
It was an alcohol thing, definitely.
And it usually is.
And it usually is. And like, I feel like communication is fine if you're listening. If it's a one-sided communication, then we have to have, like, what do we do here? Like, I'm going to end it quick and it's going to be abrupt and uncomfortable for everybody.
And now it's always going to be uncomfortable.
I don't even know if they remember.
Ooh. That's the biggest swinger horror story, is not remembering.
Wow.
Ooh.
I heard those too, where like you in an orgy or something like that and you're fucking two or three different people and you're fucked up. And then the next time you see them, they're like, hey, what's up? How you guys doing? You're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. They're like, no, I fucked you like last event. You're like,
oh, hey. Yeah. That you're happens like, oh. to Brad all the time, but Brad just forgets. Usually it's names, right? So like, we'll be talking to somebody online, right? And I'll bring them up and I'll be like, oh, Jane, remember Jane from, you know, this event? And he'll be like, Jane, who's Jane? I'm like, I don't know, Brad, you should probably know because your dick was inside of her.
It's like fucking Maria, man. I fucking same shit.
Like, I remember everything and everyone, even in my drunk days. And Brad just like, he doesn't even drink a lot. And he's just like, who? But I think it's because he doesn't really remember names. He just remembers faces.
Well, the name thing is tough too. Like, I'm not very good with like relating like screen names to people's names in person. So like, I'm like, when people are like, oh, I'm Aaron. I'm like, oh, what's your name online? And I have to be like, they're like, oh, I'm the pineapple, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now I know who you are. So then when I'm trying to explain to Maria, we'll be in group conversations. And I'm like, oh, babe, remember that chick? Kathy or whatever, like she fucking sent a picture. She's like, who's that again? I'm like, oh my God. I was like, I fucking swear to God, I have to like keep a picture book and be like, okay, and like flip it and be like, okay, this one, honey.
Do you remember?
And then we get to events and she's like, who the fuck was that we just talked to? And I'm like, we've fucking been talking to him for like 2 months.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, they look different in person. I'm like, well, that's not untrue.
So that's the next. Okay. So we're going to go into scenarios now. So let's play out this scenario. Right. Okay. And what do you do? What do you do? Because this is a horror story.
Feel like that's the biggest horror story. Not horror story, but the biggest situational problem that you have in the lifestyle is the catfishing.
So you meet somebody online, right? And you're talking to them. And you meet them in person. And their picture, you realize, is from 2010. And they look totally different because of aging or different hairstyle, or maybe they gained or lost some weight. How do you navigate that when it's literally catfishing?
Well, it depends on the degree of difference. Like, we've seen couples, and I swear to God, they had their pictures from college up there, like when they were triathletes and in shape, and then you meet them and they're both haven't seen a gym in 8 years and haven't missed a buffet in 10. And you're like, and it's not that they're ugly or unattractive. It's that the lead up was in the anticipation of what you were getting for a product was not delivered. And then you're like, well, you've lied this far and you've tried to like bamboozle us. And like now, like, and my thing, and when that happens, I think this is why we try to do more like live pitches or voice calls and things like that to try to like see, but even still with like all the filters you can throw on cameras and like even video chats, like you can still hide yourself.
Yeah.
Like there was couples that we've talked to and like couldn't wait to meet them at Secret. And then we got there and I'm like, now we have to avoid them the whole fucking weekend. I'm like, God damn. Like my thing is to those people is like, what do you think is going to fucking happen? Like, it's not a situational thing for us as swingers. Like, just because we're there to fuck and set it and you show up and you're not like you were, it doesn't mean we're still going to do it because we have already had this conversation. Like, I don't need to fuck you. I want to. And when you show up and you're a catfish, you're like, come on, man. You wasted all of our fucking time here.
Literally, but also, like, swingers, people seem to think that, like, we are just, like, these shallow people who only want to fuck hot, young, ripped people. And it's like, it's all about your personality. And the realer you are, the easier it's going to be. And the more that's going to, it's going to be a lot better for everybody. And if you bamboozle us, I'm going to be pissed. And I'm going to be like, well, if they're lying to me about this, like, what else are they lying about? I'm not going to fuck a liar.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you're right. Let's be honest here. Like, we're all here to fuck attractive people. If we were here to fuck ugly people, I mean, it would be a lot easier in the lifestyle. You could just show up and fuck everybody.
And attractiveness is subjective, of course.
Facts. What you like and Maria like are two different things. You have a very, like, all right, so Brad has a very different type of woman than I do. Brad likes very gothy, not gothy, but like, I don't want to say this to be rude, like homely, like long haired, scrubby looking girls. And that's fine. Cause most
thick
of them are
girls cute. Too.
Thick girls. And I'm more of like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you my type anymore. Cause it changes every fucking time I go somewhere. But like, we have very different tastes. You and Maria have very different tastes, but also similar tastes, that your spectrum is very wide. But
I like, have one taste.
Dick.
Funny. Funny. Yeah. You are funny.
So Maria needs to be emotionally stimulated.
Yeah. Like, and that stimulates me. Being funny, being able to have a laugh with me. I don't care if you're 300 pounds or 120 pounds.
I think wittiness and like, and not arrogance, but like confidence, it goes a long way. So like, we've met people and out like online and she was like, I don't know, babe, like I'm not really attracted to him. She's like, but let's go out and like see what's going on, because the conversation was good, right? So we end up going out on dates and things like that, and then we'll leave and she's like, you know what, babe, she's like, they're pretty cool, like I could see us playing with them. And like sometimes it takes that like live interaction to like make that feeling happen. Like sometimes you can't get it all out of like talking on text or phone calls and things like that, but there's been more times than not that we've been like, eh, we're not gonna really play with them, and then we end up hanging out with them, we're like, fuck it, let's go.
Right. Yeah, I think that's happened with us before, or we've talked to them online and then in person, there's just not a vibe there. So it goes both ways for sure. So I feel like online can be a catch 22. Everyone's like, do you meet people online? You know? And I mean, we go on 3Fun and we go on the Discord and everything, but really the way that we meet couples and deal with couples is in person.
Yeah. And I mean, we used to go out on a lot of like one-on-one dates, like with couples, to like, we were kind of eager to like meet couples that we could like keep in our like list of people that we wanted to play with. But it's got to the point around here, at least, where we've almost met everybody that we could meet that we're interested in off of SLS and like these apps that like we stopped doing like individual, unless the couple is like a 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 on an all around scale, not just attractiveness, like everything vibing, with like, it's a good conversation, like they're good looking, we'll take our time and we'll go out on a date with them. Other than that, if anything's on the fence, we're like, oh, let's meet you at an event, let's meet you at a club. And this is advice for people out there, like listen to the podcast. I suggest that you go to clubs in open places to meet people, so there's options if it doesn't work out. Yeah, like you don't want to spend a whole night. You don't want to spend a whole fucking ass weekend or a night getting a babysitter, which most of us have kids, setting everything up, planning it all out. Sometimes we like travel so far, me and Maria had to get fucking hotel rooms to meet people, right? Because we're just gonna, like, we'll make a day of it. We'll stay out there for the night. Even if the meetup doesn't work, I get to have a date night with my wife. Fine. But that gets expensive when you're doing it once, twice, three times a month, like trying to like meet people. So I would suggest, but this is my advice, is like you meet them at a club, you meet them at a party, and if things don't work out, at least they have something to distract them and you have something to go like try to like recover the night. The one-on-one date thing is very hard, and it does work for some people, but it hasn't for us.
So another scenario that I want to throw at you. Let's say you meet someone online and you're talking, and then you find out that they're married and their partner is not okay with them. So like, this is usually singles, right? And we've ran into situations with single females that do this, by the way. You meet them and their partner does not know that they're there. Their partner does not know that they're talking to you. How do you navigate that?
Cut it off instantly. We haven't had a lot where we like run into them at events and they're like sneaking off to be at these events, because one, it's expensive for single guys to do that. But we've had people online where like they both were equally attractive, and then it comes down to where we're talking for a little bit, and like so here's the thing. A lot of times when I'm talking to couples, they think I'm that guy because I do a lot of the vetting. I do a lot of the talking. I'm not going to waste Maria's time and my time. So I know when it gets to a point where I can bring her into the conversation and it's going to be worthwhile, or I have to stretch the conversation out a little bit longer and like try to feel out the situation to see if it's going to work. And sometimes people are like, oh, well, where's your wife? Bring her into the conversation. I'm like, well, I'm not going to bring my wife into the conversation. So then it's awkward and we both have to leave it. And I'm like, so this on the other end, when people are talking and it's the guy, and I'm like, all right, well, cool. Like, let's meet up. And then they're like, well, I can't yet. And then you're like, oh, okay, I know what's going on. As soon as I have any suspicions that like they're doing this for either pitches or like just to like get a rise and like fulfill their little like stupid little single fantasy or whatever they're trying to do, where I don't even continue the conversation. Instant block on every app, block on text, block on any conversation app, like there's just no time to waste there. And these guys, that's what they do. They're professional time wasters. They're looking for the attention. Their wives have no idea. And it's easy for them to do this because, I mean, are you really going to go look up his wife and go tell him what he's doing?
No, because in my opinion, it's not my place to police other people's marriages, right? But it is my place,
I agree with that,
to decide if I want to continue the conversation with them or continue the play with them. And that's where that comes in, because everyone's like, well, it's not your place to police. You're right, it's not my place to police. Just like on the Discord, we have a solid rule about that on the Discord, like, because people will be like, well, we know that they're married and their wife doesn't know. And it's like, it's not our place to police other people's marriages. That's between you and your wife, you and your husband, right? But it's my choice to engage and continue to engage with them, knowing what I know. And that's where, like, so we ran into a situation, and this is one of my swinger horror stories. First year Halloween, Why is it always Halloween? I always used to get too drunk because last year I got too drunk. Halloween is just like the season of the craziness for me. So this is Halloween 2021 and we're at our home club and we had been talking to this unicorn early on in the night, which, you know, personally, I wasn't attracted to her, but Brad was. She was a thicker girl, you know, his type. And me and her were engaging in conversation. I said, oh, so you're a unicorn. She's like, yeah, kind of. Well, you know, my husband's at home, but like, he doesn't really know that I'm here. He just says like, what I don't know won't hurt him. And like, to me, that seems really messy. So I had already written her off as just like, no, like that's just not going to happen for us. We can be friends, but it's just not going to happen. So I'm passed out drunk and I tell Brad, because I felt bad because he hadn't drank as much as me. And mind you, I'm an alcoholic. So this is my alcoholic days. And I was like, go do what you want to do. Go do what you want to do. And I thought to me that meant he was going to go play with like people that I knew or like friends that I trusted. Well, he was in line at the bar to grab another beer. And she like grabbed him by the hand and was like, I'm going to go suck your dick in a back room. And he was just like, okay. You know, so she brought him to a back room and sucked his dick. And he didn't do anything like malicious or anything, but he didn't know the conversation that me and her had had earlier. So he didn't know that like she had a husband at home. And then I was like really upset because I was like, oh my God, like it just felt like our boundaries had been broken on all levels and everybody fucked up in that scenario. So I fucked up because I got too drunk. He fucked up because, you know, he didn't break a boundary because I told him to go do what he wanted. But like one of our boundaries at the time was like no unicorns. And she fucked up because, first of all, she didn't ask him, where's your wife or where's your girlfriend? You know, what are your guys' boundaries? Like she just went off the rails and was like, I'm going to go suck your dick. And like any guy with a pulse is going to be like, okay, you know, especially.
Yeah, she didn't give a fuck about your boundaries.
Right. So everybody fucked up in the situation. So that's a swinger horror story. Again, alcohol is involved and a miscommunication is involved.
But this is where you take a step back and you don't fight about it. You sober up a little bit and you have a fucking discussion.
Yeah, which is what we did. I mean, I cried for a week about it. And I was like, if I didn't have 70,000 followers on TikTok, we would stop swinging because I hate this. But I have so many people relying on me. You know,
when you look back, when you look back though, now, was it really that big of a deal?
No, absolutely not. It was totally, you know, looking back, it's like, I think we had definitely had to go through that to, you know, realize like, okay, like we need to really reassess boundaries, communication, and drinking, you know, which obviously for me, it still took me another year and a half to reassess my drinking, but I digress. But I have another scenario I want to throw at you. So you meet this couple online, they're newbies, then they turn into a stage 5 clinger couple. So do you know what a stage 5 clinger couple is?
Oh, yeah.
So they just won't leave you alone at an event. And you're trying to do your thing. And like, you know that it's not going to go anywhere because just the attraction or the, it's just not there. Like the vibe isn't there. But they won't leave you alone. What do you do in that situation?
I mean, there's a certain point where you like can be nice about it and you got to like, kind of avoid it and escape when you can, but I mean, at a certain, like you got to remember who my wife is. She doesn't wait that long to tell people to fuck off.
Right.
So, I guess realistically, they have to. Those people have to learn just as much as we have to learn. There has to be a point where, like, you go, "Hey, you're not gonna fucking ride my ass all night long. Like, we're not gonna play. We're not vibing the right way. I think you guys should explore the rest of the people here and see if you can find someone that's more your fit because we aren't them."
Yeah. And that's not an asshole thing to say or do. Like people need to be better at understanding, but also like picking up on social cues. And like, we have to also remember this about people in the lifestyle though. Not everybody has the same they're not neuro, not everybody's neurotypical in the lifestyle. And we've met some neurodivergent people in the lifestyle. I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. So sometimes picking up on social cues, and we ran into this when we were in Pittsburgh with a single person. They weren't picking up on the social cues, and they like weren't leaving us alone, which I get. But also like we have to remember that. So sometimes you just have to be blunt and to the point with some people where you just have to be like, listen, bro, or listen, guys, this is not a thing for us. It's nothing against you, but like, we're not vibing with you. You should go find somebody else, or I can introduce you to some friends, you know, so you can do it in a nice way, but definitely, I think a lot of that comes from neurodivergency, which we want to be understanding of neurodivergency in the lifestyle, but we also want to make sure that we're blunt with people, but not to the point where it's like being an asshole, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And like you said, not everybody gets the same clue at the same time. Sometimes you have to be a little bit more blunt and obvious than you want to be. Like they don't know. They don't understand what it means. They're new in the lifestyle. They don't get the cues. And sometimes you have to meet people that are the type of people that can be like, you know what, dude, beat it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's especially like that for single males. I've ran into so many situations where, like when we were at the Red Room in the beginning of this year, this guy, me and Brad were like playing with this couple, and he was like sitting there watching, and we were like, hey bro, first of all, we're making content right now, so we don't want an audience. Second of all, we don't want you as our audience. And we had to tell the guy like 3 or 4 times till finally I had to be a dick about it. And I was like, listen, sir, if you don't get the fuck away from us right now, I'm going to tell staff, because like, I've told you several times to leave us alone. And he was like, sorry, sorry, sorry. I'm like, are you sorry? Or are you just trying to see what you can get here? Because
it's 100% see what you can get, because there's probably couples that like walk around all night. These guys hit on them in the beginning of the night, and at first the couple's like, yeah, we're not going to fuck with this guy. Then the night gets late and they all strike out, and they're like, you know what, let's circle back to that guy who was paying us some time. You know, like, they hang around for the opportunity.
Right. So, I mean, it's definitely like that more with single males, because it's harder, like, single males are a niche in the lifestyle. What a niche means is like, it's not the common thing. So, and there's so many of them that like any chance that they can get at some play or watching some play, or like maybe this girl that they're attracted to is like gonna reciprocate that, you know, but after striking out so many times, they just get clingy. And it's like, that's why a lot of people single males get a bad name in the lifestyle, because they don't know when no means no. If you tell somebody no, that means no. And that's comes to the last point of the biggest swinger horror story scenario. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Breaking consent.
That is a no-no.
That is the biggest swinger horror story. I would definitely say that we've been in situations where this has happened. Alcohol plays a big role in this, but people need to understand that like, once you break that consent barrier and you break a couple's consent or you break a single's consent, like, it's game over.
I think that's a drinking and also, again, a scenario thing where people see other people in a moment and their inhibitions are down, like they're not paying attention to their surroundings still. And they come over and start touching and doing things, and with the intent that the person's not going to say anything because they're already hot and bothered in the moment. Yeah. And that's even worse, I think, than some of the other non-consensual situations. I feel like when you're taking advantage of a situation, it's premeditated.
Yeah, there's people in the lifestyle, you know, we would love to sit here and say it's all rainbows and unicorns are perfect, but there's predatory people in the lifestyle, which is
100%.
Yeah.
I think when it becomes predatorial and premeditated, you're even worse than like just being in a situation like kissing someone without asking, but like it wasn't premeditated, like you were kind of like jumping on the vibe. But like when you sit in the corner of a room and you wait for people to do certain things so that you can try to jump on it, you should, it's, that's probably the worst.
Yeah. Which, again, not to throw single males under the bus, because there are couples who do this.
There is couples that do it, especially couples that strike out a lot.
Yeah. Or, like, what about this scenario? So, there's, say you're, like, a unicorn, or you're a female who plays unicorn sometimes, and the husband actually uses their wife as bait to prey on the single females, and they see you having a good time. And then they use their wife, like, as the bait, and they use their wife to do the predatory, like, the hunting.
I feel like that happens a lot, too. Like, oh, I'm into women. My wife wants girl time. My wife wants this. My wife wants... It's all about my wife. And then you get the girl to come back, or the couple to come back, that's willing to let his wife play and watch. Because I'm okay with that, too. Like, if there was a time where, like, we don't all, like, click, but Maria likes the girl or whatever, I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, do your thing, and I'll watch. But when you're using that to get them into a situation where you can start touching and doing things, again, another predatorial situation where, like, it's a setup that's, you've been, you, this is the, how you guys operate. You send your wife in, like you said, she's the hot one out of the two of you. You tell, she tells everyone that she's into the women. You get the woman back, and then you try to capitalize on sexual desire and horniness to get what you want.
Yeah. And if we go back to the, oh, my husband, he cheated on me situation, that was what they were doing with me. You know, they got us back to their room where our inhibitions are down. We're drinking tequila shots, right? They're like, oh, we have this bottle of 1942. And then we get to the room and we start talking to them more. And then we realize that they're unicorn hunters and they just want to play with me. And it's like almost like very predatory behavior toward the other females.
Yeah, and now that, like, we've been in for 4 years or whatever, close to 4 years, I think we pick up on that a lot more, especially when you're not drinking. It's a lot easier to pick up on the bullshit. And, I mean, we drink, we have our stuff, but we're never fucked up anymore. Like, we'll get hammered during the day. Like, we day drink at the pool because it's usually just a party, and I'm not worried about, like, the playing aspect of making out, kissing, like, doing shit at the pool, like, whatever. But, like, the actual full playtime, well, yeah, sober.
Yeah. So, before we wrap up, what are your Halloween plans? Because we know that swinging in Halloween, it's like Halloween, Christmas for us, right? Like, yeah. Halloween is our favorite time of year. I don't know what it is.
About, not like we don't dress up for any events or anything like that. Right. Like Halloween has to be the one where, like, everybody goes all out. But October was kind of like a busy month for us. So we did a little, like, meet and greet last weekend. As far as Halloween, we have our own family function this weekend on Saturday. We have a family party for the kids and friends, and we definitely have lifestyle people there, but it's a very vanilla situation. So people that think that we can't do both, we do. And then next week we are off. It's another chill weekend. And then October 28th, we're actually supposed to go to My Frisky Business in Long Island and do that party, but it was kind of getting expensive to go there for one night to travel to New York. So we decided to stay local. And for those people who are listening that are in the New England area, we will be at Choice in Rhode Island for their annual Halloween party. And that's the only social club that's really around us in New England, probably the only one that's around us in New England. So we'll be doing that. We're members there. And hopefully I can report back on that with Kylie. And what are you guys doing?
So we never, ever miss Halloween at Eros in Cleveland. We never will miss it. It's the biggest event of the year. There's, like, usually 700 or 800 people. And they do. So they have, like, you've never been there, but it's so fucking cool. So they have their dungeon areas open, like, everything's open. And then they do a haunted house, and inside of the warehouse, like, it's a huge warehouse. So they do a haunted house. This is in Cleveland.
And they do a haunted house in the club?
In the club. In the where. So, mind you, this...
Maria's freaking favorite shit.
This club is, like, huge. It's bigger than any club you've ever been to. Guarantee it. It's so big. It's so amazing. So they do a haunted house. It's just, like... Everything. Halloween is everything in Cleveland at that club. Like, it's just so much fun. So we're going the weekend before, and we're going, so the weekend before Halloween, and we're going that Saturday. And okay, so one of the girls that I work with, This is like, yeah, I do this a lot. One of the girls that I work with, I'm a stripper. Brad has the biggest crush on her. Like, we went to dinner with her a couple months ago, and like, so she's this really thick Latina girl, like Brad's type, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about. I've seen her on your snaps.
Yeah, and so Brad has like the hugest crush on her. So she's coming with us. She's like, Kylie, like, I really want to get into swinging, but like, I'm a single female, so like, I'm afraid that like people are gonna prey on me. And I'm like, girl, I got you. Like, you'll go, you'll have a good, because she likes girls. So she's gonna come with us. So we're super excited about that. And then, yeah, so it's gonna be a good time. I'm excited. We got a report back on our Halloween. Because last year it was cool because we got to spend Halloween together. But we're kind of, like I said, we're just gonna stay local this year.
Sounds like fun though, because maybe next year we can fly to Cleveland.
Yeah, you guys should definitely. I mean, and if you're in the Cleveland area, like Eros for Halloween is just like the vibe. It's just really like, if you're new to the lifestyle, I wouldn't recommend it as like your first event, because it is so overwhelming and so much going on. Like, they have almost 30 rooms, but it's like an hour wait for a room.
And every Halloween. What time does it go to? Like, what time does it start? What time does it go to?
It starts at 9 and it goes till 4. And they let people stay overnight at the club. So sometimes you can stay for the after party, which we might this year.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And like, for the after parties, cause I've done the after parties before. What we do is, like, we'll play spin the bottle with like the after party crew. Like, it's, yeah,
that's fun though. That's fun though.
It's really fun. And like, again, like the dungeons open, cause they have a whole dungeon area, which they open up for their kink events. Cause they do, their love and bondage events like 3 times a year. And so they have like a dungeon area where people are being like tied up or like flogged. So, I mean, like, there's just something for everyone to do, and you can just go and have fun. Last year we had a 12 person orgy, and we were in an orgy with like bisexual men, bisexual women. It was super fun.
I'm interested.
Yeah, it was really, really good. It brings out all the freaks, all come out on Halloween, I feel like. So
let's do next year Eros and why.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, for sure. We'll do Cleveland it up, because I'm telling you, like, I know
we make a weekend out of it. We probably come like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, and they're doing an event in Nashville next weekend for Swinger Society, but like, I don't know, there, I didn't really personally like the Red Room. I would just rather go to Cleveland. Like, our club is just so much better.
No one really raves about the Red Room. Everyone says it's okay.
I mean, it's great because of the area, and I will say this, hands down, Nashville has the best looking couples.
Oh yeah, for sure. People up there, yeah. I mean, I'm actually surprised for Nashville that, because of the entertainment they have out there, that there isn't a better club than Red Room. But everyone said, that's why, like, everyone's going this October, is it next weekend or the weekend after? Yeah, so next weekend. And they're all, like, most of the people on Friday are not going to the club. They're all doing, like, the party bus and going down Broadway, and they're doing the club. They're doing, like, the bar scene on Friday, and then they're only going to the club on Saturday.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited for Halloween. Hope you guys like this episode. Hope you got something out of it. Swinger horror stories. Joe, any last words for the audience about?
No, but if you guys are in the Philly area or the Pittsburgh area, you gotta hit that bar up that we went to.
Oh yeah, that we went to last year.
So
that...
people, there is a bar in Pittsburgh. I don't know the name of it, but it's Halloween themed all year. And we talk about it in the Pittsburgh podcast.
The Secret Sensations one.
It was fucking crazy how, like, we went in there and it was dead, and we thought it was going to be like a dive. And then all of a sudden we turned around and it was a shit show. Karaoke, Kylie was singing, everyone was like going fucking nuts. But the whole bar is Halloween themed all year round. So we were there during Halloween last year, 2 years ago. Last year, 2 years ago, 2 years ago.
It was last year. That was last year.
I feel like it's been forever. But, it was the fucking one of the coolest bars we've ever been to. It was awesome. So if you're in the Philly area, that is
no Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah, that's the spot. Go there.
Last question is, what are you guys dressing up as?
So we decided to do Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. And that's
why that's so basic, Joe.
Yeah, but I'm doing a sexy wolf, and that's why my beard is long right now.
Me and Brad are going kind of basic though.
And it's hard to like, you know how many fucking costumes I have? Like, what am I really going to go as? I dress up as Halloween 3 times a month.
Literally, I know. I have like every Halloween costume, but I'm going as a naughty nun, but scary naughty nun. Like,
that's so basic as fuck. That's like going as a schoolgirl.
Okay, yeah, but like also I'm going to have like prosthetic crosses and like I'm going to have a weapon and like be super scary. No,
it's still basic, bitch. I don't care how you decorate basic. It's still basic.
And Brad's going as a priest, like a killer priest. Ooh.
Stop trying to hype it up.
It's going to be fucking lit.
Next year, I'm going as a Teletubby.
Oh, my God. I should go as a Teletubby. We should go as the four of us. Okay, I'm
and
the purple one.
Completely ridiculous.
I'm the purple one because he's gay and everyone thinks I'm gay.
Why did you literally raise your hand and it raised a hand?
It did. Oh my God, we're on Zoom right now, you guys. All right, guys, we love you. Have a great Halloween. Be safe out there. Remember, don't drink too much and abide by consent and communicate.
And don't forget to catch us once or twice a week. We're going to try to start trying to figure out how to advertise our TikTok live more than just being so random, but usually we get on around 10 o'clock, and lately 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and lately we've been on till like shit 2-3 in the morning.
So what we're gonna do is we do panel lives, and anybody is welcome to come and join us on these lives and chat with us. So we are answering questions. People come in if they're for against the lifestyle. We listen to everybody. We don't block people, but it's every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Eastern and we go until about 2 a.m. So come in there, chat with us, you know, say your views on the lifestyle. We've had people who aren't even associated with us come in there and be like, yeah, I love the lifestyle. This is my experience. So it's really cool and it's awesome. And we just want everybody to join us and have a voice. So with that being said, happy Halloween. Be safe out there. We love you guys.
Peace out.